Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session, which is reserved to analysts only. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Giovanni Razzoli with Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. 3-4 questions on my side. The first one is, a question related to your thoughts about the business plan presentation. In the context of the plan, and it would be nice to know what is the time frame for the plan presentation, if it's year end or first half, or when you are about to present the plan. But in the context of the plan, do you think that is the reduction of the sovereign exposure a priority for the bank, also in the context of the recent, statement that we have seen just also today about the banking union, the reduction of the exposure to the BTP. So what are your thoughts there? And related to this, you are sitting on about, you disclosed 140 basis points of extra capital related to the gains on the BTP. I was wondering how can you leverage on this amount, and if you intend to leverage on this amount to fund an acceleration of the restructuring, for example, in the cost cutting. And again, related to this, I would like you to share with us what are your thoughts about the shareholder remuneration. Do you have a preference to dividend distribution or buyback? I ask you this because, in my view, it is there is a material difference in terms of the message that you give to the market, because buyback gives you flexibility on the capital, but flexibility, in my view, does not give you a straightforward message that you are really confident about your capital position and risk profile. You have a 12.1% Tier 1 ratio. Now you're ranked number third in terms of asset quality with a 9.4% NP ratio. So I was wondering whether what are your preferences between dividend and buyback, and why you are still relatively shy in terms of saying possible dividend distribution, while most of your peers are already committing to a much larger payout ratio. And finally, sorry for the long questions, you mentioned you have added a marginal conservatism to your CET1, and you say that the regulatory headwind amount to 70 basis points, including TRIM, IFRS 16, and this marginal conservatism. I have reconciled the different moving parts, and to my understanding, this marginal conservatism amounts to 40 basis points of CET1. I was wondering whether my calculation is correct. Thank you, and sorry for the long list of questions.
Okay, thank you. I'll just say more questions for the business plan rather than for Q3, but I will try to do my best to give some answer. Business plan presentation, as I mentioned also in Q2, we were working on it. We are still working on it. Frankly speaking, the scenario changed a lot during the last months, both in terms of liquidity, in terms of political and economic situation, in terms of interest rates. So we are still trying to do our best to present something that is reasonable and is feasible with the current situation. This would bring, in my opinion, to deliver the business plan during Q1 next year. Second question, the govies, of course, this is very much linked to the business plan strategy. Of course, whatever will be done in terms of potential major reduction of cost or reduction of further reduction, accelerated reduction of NPE, rather than other measures that we have to adopt, have a good reserve fostered by this quite solid govies position. So we know that we have ammunition in order to prepare a very good and satisfactory, I hope, business plan. Of course, we don't have to forget that the liquidity position, the NII situation is under threat. We have negative interest rates, which up to now are giving some thought for the near future to the banking system. And of course, whatever the share of NII we would envisage will be done both by interest from customer and also from investment in securities. So the trade-off is always is not that evident that in doing one thing you are doing to adjust forever the contribution for the bank and the potentiality to have a sustainable profitability for next years. So let us finish our homework, and we will try to be the clearest possible when we will present the business plan. Dividend distribution, I thought that I had a sort of soft approach to this issue. During the Q2, I only mentioned the possibility of a dividend distribution. This time we wanted to write down the possibility of a dividend distribution. The consequence of this would be that we want to pay a dividend this year. Of course, we are the only bank which comes from a merger. We wanted, before announcing officially something that has to be, of course, decided also by the board and by the EGS, of course, wanted to have all the possible situation which does not endanger our bank. Nowadays, we are confident that we have reached the right capital structure. We are also reinforcing our structure, as you know, with the emission of 81. And so I think that is quite evident the willingness of the bank in terms of dividends. Last one, the MOC. Yes, you were right. If you want, I can give you the difference. The split of the 17 basis points was 12 basis points IFRS 16, 20 basis points add-on on TRIM, and 40 basis points on this MOC.
Thank you.
The next question is from Azzurra Guelfi with Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. A couple of questions. One on the coverage of UTP. This has been continuing to increase over the last quarter. It has resulted also probably in better workout for the banks, but I just wanted to know if there has been any changing in the way of managing the UTP from your side. The other one is on the NII. The effect of the disposal should have been like now crystallized on the NII. So what would be your expectation? Is this the bottom of the NII going forward, assuming the rate doesn't move forward? And if possible, can you give us the average yield on your government portfolio? Thank you.
I'm not sure I understood the coverage on UTP question. Again, is increasing 150 basis points. This comes before, as you know, we have already done basically all the homework. We are still, of course, opportunistic also on bad loans, which basically is almost composed by leasing activities, which we will be trying in any case to dispose. But on UTP, we are very much concentrated on increase this level because also with workout, we have to try to reach some potential opportunity for reducing at the same pace we are doing right now. I remember we have reduced in less than 3 years, we have reduced more than 4.4 billion, basically without losing money, and this is our goal, to still increase the coverage in order to reach potential opportunity as when they happen on the market. On NII, this comes together with the question of Mr. Razzoli. Of course, if we think about the same govies portfolio, would be very much the same, apart from the reduction of the Euribor. You consider that the average Euribor for the Q3 was 34 basis points. Nowadays, we are already at 39, if I am not wrong. So there is, anyway, an effect still on the portfolio, but of course the vast majority for a forecast on next year will be depending on the portion of govies that will decide to keep or sell on the market.
And can you give us the average yield of the government portfolio?
No, I am not in the position right now to give the number, but we can elaborate.
The next question is from Christian Carrese with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I have three questions. The first one is on net interest income. I would like to understand your approach on TLTRO III and the tiering. Have you done already some calculation on what you want to take up and the impact in 2020 from tiering? Still on net interest income, also I would like to understand the commercial policy, because I see a slight slowdown in terms of loans growth. Are you trying to increase the customer spread rather than volumes, or you still think that you can grow higher than the sector average? The second question is on commission, a good quarter, no big seasonality. We saw almost 6 billion inflows in terms of direct deposits year to date. What are your thoughts there? So what do you think will be the possibility to switch into assets under management in 2020? If you can elaborate a little bit more on clientele risk appetite, if it's improving the current low interest rate environment. The first question is on capital. Just a clarification on slide 24. The add-on impact imposed by ECB. What kind of impact when they will be removed? What could be the impact? Maybe I missed during the conference call the positive impact on capital and. There are other actions, I think, some participation that could be non-core participation that could be sold in the next couple of years. And also there is the pro-family non-captive business that should be finalized by year-end. So I would like to understand what is the capital ratio that you want to have. Just 12% or maybe more between 12.5% and 13% going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carrese. So, TLTRO and tiering, this is another basically new decision because we had our funding strategy done without TLTRO, as you know, because we mentioned that many times in the previous meeting. Nowadays, we are reconsidering everything. I read that also other bankers are considering, due to the more interest in rates, but moreover on the 3 years rate maturity of the TLTRO, which of course account very much in terms of NSFR, to reconsider also our potential strategy on borrowing money. Of course, it's not yet decided. It will be done through the business plan. Consider that, if I'm not wrong, the contribution of TLTRO is about 5 million per billion. So it's quite easy to understand how much it accounts for our numbers, having 21 billion right now. The tiering is quite new and interesting also for us because we were not depositing in ECB just because it was too expensive. Nowadays that we have almost 5 billion of room to deposit at zero, we will exploit this opportunity, which should give us something in the region of 20 million of contribution in NII. Of course, also this will depend on how we will be able to manage this enormous amount of liquidity that is still coming into the banking system and also in our bank, because of course if we are able to stay with the 5 billion position, of course the 20 million will be all in our NII. If we still will increase this number, this will erode step by step the 20 million. So all our activity will be devoted to have the right growth or reduction, especially from corporates and institutional investors in liquidity, in order to try to offset the disadvantages and to keep full advantage from the tiering. Commercial spread, yes, I mentioned before, I made this slide just to show you that the new loans are luckily enough already experiencing a quite good increase in the total rates. Why we have reduction in the average spread? Because of course the loans maturing comes from 3, 4, 5 years ago and are still at higher spread, but the new loans production is much higher and will be still higher in the future vis-a-vis last year. Commission is, I would say, the name of the game for us. I think everybody, starting from us, but also the market, I think, undervalued the restructuring process in which we were involved during these 3 years with, as I mentioned before, this new portfolio advisory approach. Nowadays, our people understood what to do. Luckily enough, the performance of the bank are quite good in terms of return of this investment, so we have a lot of room for switching into further asset under management, and this will be the key driver also for the business plan. First of all, let me precise, which is not an add-on, is not been imposed by anybody, it's just a request that we were not able to perform because we didn't expect that the request would have been done, having already the new model request in place. Of course, we are running the calculation for the old model in parallel. I hope by next quarter to give with some hopefully gaining on this 40 basis point the right number, but still will be a number related to the past, not to the future. So I think that the overall situation will come out clearly by the final RB validation from ECB, which should come in the first half of 2020. Let's say that is a good margin that we have taken apart in order to offset any potential downside. Again, Common Equity Tier 1, we are not worried at all about Common Equity Tier 1 growth. We know that we can grow organically in order to increase from 12 to 13, even without any capital management action. But as you know, and will be indicated in the business plan, we have plenty of financial participation, which we want to dispose also for the threshold. As you know, we have still a threshold which is higher than what we want to be in terms of financial stakeholdings, DTA, and so on. So the more we can free up, the more capital we can free up. And we, again, I think we have something in the region of 200 million to optimize in order to bring further capital.
We've limited the impact on profits, I presume.
Without impact on profitability. I am talking about the remaining pro-family activity, the Cariasti, Factorit, Selma, so things that, frankly speaking, don't give so much contribution to our profit and loss.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Andrea Vercellone with Exane. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Apologies, I had to leave the call for 5 minutes, so apologies if some of the questions have already been asked. The first question is on capital. On the 2 billion voluntary add-on, and specifically your calculations in order to add this add-on are based on taking into account PD and LGD series up to what year? Is it 2018? Is it H1 2019? Is it 2017? Is everything captured until now, or you will have to re-update it again? And also related to this, in the model you put in to the ECB for validation, have you already taken into account of the EBA guidelines requirements, or that is still to be done in future years? Also on capital, can you make some comments on operational risk in Q4? You had stated in the past that there could be a negative impact. That's it on capital. Then fee income. Last year in Q4, it was a very strong quarter. However, it benefited from a very strong contribution from structured finance, or that's what you had said at the time. Shall we expect something in line, or it would be prudent to say it will be lower because it was really an extraordinary quarter on that front? Senior bonds maturing on the funding side in 2020-2021, can you give us the average cost, something that compares to what you put on page 12? And finally, on the unrealized gains of 860 million on bonds at amortized cost, are these gross or net or taxes? And you said before that they are a good buffer for potential restructuring and so on. But is it quite simple to unlock them, or if you want to, or not? Thank you.
Maybe a little senior. Okay. Let me remind again, just to stress that it's not an add-on, but it's something I would say self-inflicted. It takes in account, generally speaking, because again we didn't have the possibility to run the figure with the I would say current IRB model, because we were already on the new one. And we made a conservative estimation of this 2 billion considering both 2017 and 2018. of course, including whatever we could have included, but this is already in the application for the new model. So the EBA guidelines, as I mentioned also before, in part were already included in the previous validation that we obtained in 2018, and of course for the one that we knew afterwards are included in the new request for validation.
So basically, that's it on this front in terms of regulatory headwinds. Everything we know, it's either in this buffer or anyway in the model that you put in for validation. Is that correct?
I would say that if you remind, we had also some buffer from the previous validation because there were some add-on imposed. So I would say that for the new one, now we have two buffer. One was the previous add-on. The second one is the current that we put on the balance sheet this quarter. Is that clear?
Not really, in the sense that what we all want to know is, shall we factor in certain additional negative components for the future or not?
Sorry, Mr. Vercellone, I am not, of course, the regulator. Otherwise, I would have self-imposed the validation, not the mock. So for the time being, I can only self-impose the mock. Of course, hopefully, as you can have experienced during these 3 years, we were always delivering and performing also in the different step with the procedure that we had with ECB. So at the best of our capability, there shouldn't be any other things. But of course, I have to wait for the validation because I am not the one that has to decide the numbers. Of course, we have done, we think, a good job, which is still better if we consider these further buffer, let's say.
Hmm. And on the operational risk, is there still something coming in Q4?
I don't think so. Again, we are running month by month. If we are mentioning, I don't know if you are mentioning to some particular situation or the famous Diamond case. If it's for Diamond, we still are running. We are now up to more than 9,000 transactions with client. Fully in line with our provision, so we don't forecast any other things. I don't think we will have any other potential backfire from that. Commission for Q4 will be, I would say, of the different nature from last year, but not very different probably from the results, because last year we had as you rightly remember, the contabilization of a big tranche of structured finance transaction all in Q4. This year maybe will be a bit less, but we are recovering a lot in terms of asset under management. If you have a look to the slide on page 14, last year in Q4, we had 2.5 billion of placement of investment product. I really hope that we can be almost 1 billion better than the figure in the Q4. What else? Senior bond maturing. We have two kind of bond. The tranche subordinated would be 5.5% and the senior 2.5%, but are both covered or swapped, of course. So most probably we can have better price. Last unrealized gains are considering gross. As you can remember, in terms of capital, the gross for us is equal to the net because of the DTA, so that doesn't make a lot of difference.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Domenico Santoro with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for the presentation. Also, a couple of follow-ups from my side. Again, on the capital, I understand that you have a lot of positive reserve here, and you might decide in the plan whether to action at some of them. Also, of course, calibrating the impact on the P&L when it comes to UTP and the sovereign. A bit beyond next year, I was wondering whether you have any message on Basel IV instead and the operational risk that kicks in first. The second is on the new definition of defaulted loans. I was just wondering whether you have any idea on how the NPE perimeter it might change and whether this is going to kick in the fourth quarter, please. And then I had a very similar question to the one of the colleague on the buyback of shares, but actually it was answered before. I mean, your stock is, of course, trading at a very low valuation, and from what I have understood from the calls, for example, of the Spanish banks, there is the regulator is more open to consider buyback of shares, and we had also a very small Austrian bank that had been approved a buyback of shares recently. So I'm just wondering whether there is any discussion with the regulator on this. You might be inclined to do that because, of course, you are far away to be considered a stock, I mean, for income funds. So the buyback of shares, it might help significantly the valuation at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Santoro. No, frankly speaking, we don't have a big material rather than big foreseen amount of headwind for both 2020 and 2021. 2022, of course, there will be the EBA guidelines. Most of them, we think, we have already applied in the exercise we tried to explain before. There will be, of course, something on the AMA, but starting from 2022, I think we will be more precise also in the presentation on the business plan. Let's just consider, please, that I don't know if, frankly speaking, this exercise of announcing the headwind is quite consistent. For instance, if you go back to the past, the potential impact or whatever came, Basel III and so on, was considered much higher than has been as a matter of fact. I would say, especially with us, we were running the bank with massive de-risking, with a lot of headwind that came from a different validation, and frankly speaking, we are still here growing in Common Equity Tier 1. Just to make an example, the impact of IFRS 9 was calculated to be what basis point? 42 basis points in 2016 ended up to be 20 basis points. So everything is just an estimation which do not consider that the bank is a moving company in which, of course, we try to better our capital absorption, to make move in order to offset potential headwind. And again, I think our story of these 3 years can show that we were very much able to offset all of this. But frankly speaking, for the next 2 years, I think we will be much better than in the past because, again, since this quarter, finally, we don't have any pro forma. We know that we are running with our capital generation and producing enough capital, also considering, of course, especially for the future, the possibility of paying dividends. What was the last one? Buyback, sorry. I mean, we are working on everything. This year is a lot of years that we don't give satisfaction in terms of payment back to our shareholders. So let's, first of all, give us the possibility to understand the amount, and then we will consider what is better to do, also considering the amount that will be available for paying back shareholders. I'm not yet in the position to tell you.
All right, thank you. About the new definition of defaulted loans, please.
Yes, also this comes basically starting from January 2022. We will make the application, I think, first quarter 2021. We have a really preliminary estimation which range in a range of tenths of basis point, but still, of course, we are not working on that. We don't think right now, we don't think it's possible to give you some number, but is yet to come in the next 2 years, and we will do the application by time.
The 10 basis points is applicable on the loan loss provision, correct?
I mean, so it could be something capital requirement, of course.
The next question is from Hugo Cruz with KBW. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. So let me see. I have a few questions. Some of them might have been answered, so apologies for that. But have you accrued any dividends so far for 2019 in the CET1 ratios? Also on CET1 ratio, those 40 basis points of margin of conservatism, that's on a phased-in approach. Is the number different on a fully loaded basis? And then, do you have an approximate date for the business plan presentation? That's it. Thank you.
No, the first question is no, because, as you know, we don't have to ask for the capitalization of the Q3 profitability because it's not audited, fully audited. So we have basically all the contribution that we can have in the second part of the year is available for potential distribution. Yes, the mock is calculated, basically is phase-in, but the fully loaded is not much different, few basis points. And again, the business plan presentation, we have not yet the data, but we think in the first quarter would be the right time.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Adele Palama with UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good evening. I have a few questions. So can you give us a bit of color on the declining trend of the contribution from the equity accounting investment? Then the second question is on the asset quality. I was wondering if you are planning to do further sale of NPLs, and if you are planning to do it, what is the price that you expect? And then if you can give us the default ratio for the quarter. Thanks.
Sorry, could you repeat the third question, the last question, please?
Yes, if you can give us the default ratio for this quarter on the NPLs.
Sorry, I didn't get to the first one. It was on Diamond? No.
No, no. The first one is on the contribution from the equity accounted investment, the second line of the P&L. There is a declining trend. If you can give us a bit of color on that.
Semi saying il numero, sorry. global amount for equity participation up to 30th of September is 97 million, of which in the third quarter 28 million. Okay?
Yes, but there is a declining trend quarter on quarter. If you can give us a bit of color on that. Like from 33 million goes to 28.
Yes, in the fourth quarter it should be a bit up. I have to say that the major difference comes only from one of our stakeholdings, which is in the consumer finance, where Agos decided to have a different accounting policy on some aspect. So basically they are making the same money of last year, but deciding to account in a different way and giving us a slowly lower distribution rather than last year.
The next question is from Noemi.
No, sorry, I have still to answer. I'm collecting data, sorry. Just a minute.
Okay.
Okay, the default rate, I have the data for the full 9 months, is 1.2%, going down from 1.4% as at June. So, of course, the quarter is much lower. For a queue disposal, if I understood the question, we don't have any specific project yet. We are, as I mentioned before, working more on UTP. We are also looking around to understand if some of the transactions made by some competitor is replicable or not. And of course, we will be able to decide better what to do once the will be much clearer the situation for transaction in UTP, which I don't believe can be done the same way as bad loans in the terms of massive disposal.
And sorry, as a follow up, the default rate that you give us, is a gross or a net basis?
It's gross.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Noemi Peruk with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good evening. I have three questions from my side. The first one is on asset quality. Could you disclose the size of the NPE write-offs in the quarter? And the second one is a follow-up on capital. Can you please clarify whether the TRIM impact you took in Q2 included already the review of the loan default portfolio and also the retail portfolio? And finally, what is the contribution to NII from the non-captive business of ProFamily? And in which line shall we find the related PPA contribution? Thanks a lot.
What do you intend exactly for NPE write-off? Again, there was no material position write-off, but of course we have a continuous write-off procedure, which of course where we don't see a possibility to either recovery or we prefer to amount to close the provision on some on some of our dossier, we prefer to do that. But I am trying to give you the number, the increase of number, so you can make your calculation. Just a minute.
Thanks.
The low default portfolio. Yes, the low default portfolio is included into the TRIM because it's still the large portfolio, which was all under the TRIM review. And sorry, the third one?
The third one is the contribution to NII from the non-captive business of ProFamily, and also in which line can we find the PPA contribution. And as a follow-up on capital, was also the retail portfolio included in the TRIM impact you took in Q2? Thanks.
So the retail portfolio is also included into the TRIM, as far as your last question is concerned. I thought we mentioned the lower contribution from ProFamilies on page 9 is 3.2 million in the quarter, so it's part of the negative difference in NII, is the first figure we mentioned on page 9.
Sorry, again, I was talking about the non-captive business of ProFamily. Thank you.
Captive. The non-captive? This is the captive, what we lost already. Then we have the captive. So can you check it? If there is some other question, I will come back with this. I think it's something like.
The next question is from Thomas Desvoisme with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the details on the bond maturing in the next few years. Would you mind giving us what you plan to issue and, if possible, by type of instruments? Thanks very much.
We have a forecast of basically issuing the same amount which are maturing. Of course, we are considering potentially to also fill some bucket in the different years, but the vast majority will be senior and, of course, only MREL issuing.
Thank you.
The next question is from Giovanni Razzoli. Please go ahead, sir.
Sorry, can I go back 1 minute to the question of Mediobanca? We found the contribution from non-captive is 9 months, 2.7 million.
The next question is from Giovanni Razzoli with Equita. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I don't want to open a discussion on whether it's better to pay a dividend or a buyback, but as far as I'm concerned, as line number 25, you have mentioned a possible dividend distribution, which is quite straightforward vis-a-vis the buyback. And then, in my view, if you deem that your stock is undervalued, you can pay back money to shareholders via buyback, and it's up to shareholders to decide whether the stock is undervalued or not. And more importantly, the buyback is a flexible measure, which in my view implies that you are not fully confident about the particular structure, right? The dividend is more straightforward. So I strongly believe that if it's a possible dividend distribution, in light also of the progresses that you have made on capital profitability and NP ratio, it should be a dividend distribution, not a buyback. Thank you.
Basically, I think it's what I answered also to some other question. Of course, we have the obligation to do the best we can for shareholders, so we are considering the best option. Again, it's the first year. I'm already very happy to give you this announcement, and of course leave me still the remaining time in order to give you some more detail.
Thank you. We're on the same page.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay. Thank you very much for your attention. Good night.